Good morning, basketball fans, and welcome to another edition of the Upstate Hoops Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropia. I'll be joined by my co-host Matt Verkey with another big show on tap. We have some North Rose Woolcott Cougars in studio this morning. We'll recap all the week's action in the Wayne Finger Lakes leagues and reveal our updated Girl Super 6 and FL1 power rankings straight ahead on a holiday edition of the Upstate Hoops Podcast. All right, big week in the Wayne Finger Lakes. Thursday night was crazy in Wayne County. Friday night was crazy in Finger Lakes East. How's it going to shake up the power rankings? Big week for the girls as well. I think it was just last night or the night before, Mid Lakes beat Geneva. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. But, Verk, how you doing? Welcome back in studio.
Hey, Jim.
And we had a lot of controversy, a lot of talk this week about who's better, Wayne County, Finger Lakes, North Rose only beat Lions by this much, and Palmac beats Minders but loses to Newark, and so this is going to be an interesting show, I think, today, especially since we got a couple of the guys that we were debating about in studio here. We're lucky enough to have with us, first of all, head coach of the North Rose Woolcott Cougars, Brian Hoyt. Welcome in the studio, Brian. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
And then also, we have a couple of guys from the team. We got senior Garrett Hoyt and junior Tyler Norris. Hi, fellas.
Thank you
for
having us.
Thanks for coming in, getting up early on Sunday morning.
Thank you.
So, how long have you guys been playing together? Because that's the thing I keep hearing about this team, or that we keep, every time we seem we do one of your games, we talk about the chemistry and you know, you basically have the same group as you had last year, minus Jake Stevenson. And how long have you guys played basketball together?
Oh, we're definitely a close-knit group, and we've been playing together since fifth and sixth grade travel. I was a fourth grader when I started playing with these guys, and Jake Stevenson was a sixth grader, and then the senior class we have now was in fifth grade when we started playing, and we've played together ever since then. You know, I've kind of always played up and kept on pace with them, and we've had a lot of fun with it since we were young. So,
yeah, Tyler's dad was the coach when we were in fifth and sixth grade, so we always had practice. We always went to Thursday night practice to the, if there was a game on Thursday, went to the boys varsity game, and so we all went to watch that together. So we were like, we want to be like them.
So you've had to put up with them for several years then, not just the past couple.
Yeah.
We've been around, yeah.
Now, Coach, you were a player, pretty good player in your day, I hear, right, Verk? Verk was one that actually first told me that.
2,000-point scorer.
Yep.
First class Section 5 Hall of Fame.
Oh, Section 5 Hall. That's right. First class. So you guys are both Section 5 Hall of Famers right here.
Yep. We had same year.
Yep.
And I have a kind of a funny story behind that is, you know, I got inducted 20 years after I was out of high school, and I told my brother, and my brother said, "What, are they running out of people to choose from?" And I was like, well,
first
actually,
class,
I was in first class, and he's, oh, well, I guess it's something to be proud of then.
No doubt.
Yeah, coaching these guys, it's got to be a pleasure.
Oh, it's great. You know, they're good kids. We just came out last week in the newspaper. Every one of our kids is on the honor roll. I mean, from number one to number nine, every one of them.
Oh wow!
And that doesn't happen very often. They're just they're a smart group. They're fun to coach. They work hard. You know, they've been at it like they said since fifth grade, and you know it shows now that. You know, the hard work pays off, so,
And, you know, one thing I really take away from watching you guys play is that, you know, they just play the game. There's not a lot of other stuff going around that we see from some other teams.
See a lot this year, yeah.
You know, I haven't got to see them a whole lot, but, you know, in the limited games I've seen, you know, they're very poised. They go about it the right way. You know, you guys seem to do, you know, you approach the game in the right way. And, you know, that you know, regardless of records and stuff like that, I think that's, you know, something to hang your hat on. Just the way you approach the game, the way you guys play, you know, you don't complain to the officials a lot. You know, coach might a little bit, but, you know.
Well, you know, that's what I tell them. I do
that's
that.
Right. And that's how it should be. You know, but I do admire the approach, and, you know, you guys play hard and play together, and very unassuming team. And, you know, and I think that's key. You know, your chemistry seems good, and, you know, it seems like you know, this is like, you know, to me, it's like, it kind of reminded me in high school. I took my lumps a little bit my sophomore and junior year, losing the sectional finals. And then senior year, we were able to put it together, and I kind of feel like, you know, that's you guys this year looking for that, you know, league, you know, obviously go for that league championship and the sectional title.
Yeah.
So what, you know, talking about that, last year you guys went to the Blue Cross Arena, made a nice run, had a really great game against Marcus Whitman at Waterloo in the semifinals. Then you get to the Blue Cross, come up short against Wellsville, and felt bad for Jake Stevenson because he was the only one that wasn't going to get to come back with you guys and try it again. But this year, what are your goals? Is it good enough just to get back to the Blue Cross? Does the league title matter? You know, what do you guys talk about for the season as being your goals this year?
Well, the number one goal for us is the sectional finals. I mean, it was a little bit of a heartbreaker last year, and, you know, ever since day one, we all knew that we just want to get back there and get the job done this time. And league title would be nice, too. Sectional title is the ultimate goal, but we're going to come out each night and play hard and keep trying to get better as, you know, moving forward towards these goals.
Is there anything that you guys learned now, first of all, is there anything when you went to the Blue Cross Arena that maybe you didn't expect? You guys didn't play your best game that day. I think Connor Pendleton probably played really well that game, but I think all the rest of you guys probably felt like you could have had a better game. Is there any surprises playing in that arena, and is there anything that you took from that that's going to help you this year if you get back?
I realized that, like, when you're out there warming up, you're like, oh, this is – we're here, but when you get to the game, it's just another game. Like, you don't really focus on anything else. Like, now that we go in again, we realize it's just a game. Like,
yeah,
it's normal. Like,
yeah,
it's a lot of pressure, but it's just another game, really.
Yeah, and I think that too many players look at it from outside the court. You know, big arena, big atmosphere, big crowd, but all that really matters is what's going on inside the court. You know, what's going on with play calls and you know, just what's going on with you know, the play, what's happening inside the court. You're good. Don't worry about what's outside that little glass ring, you know.
With that glass, you really can't hear a whole lot. It's just
that's true.
It's all confined to that area.
So, league title, North Rose hasn't won it in a long time, Burke. I don't know if you have any idea.
I don't.
I mean, last
Coach
year,
White might have an idea.
No, we talked about it before.
No, I really don't.
So it's been a while then.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been here for 15 years counting JVs also. So, I mean, it's been a while. I've always told these kids league titles are nice, but really the ultimate goal is a sectional title.
True.
I
would agree with that. Nobody really remembers who won the league, you know, 20 years later. But, you know, you hang up sectional banners and, you know, that's kind of what people really focus on, I would say. And obviously winning the league is always nice. You know?
Well, you're playing against these, you know, the same teams every year, and you get to know some of the players, so there's some bragging rights. I know last year in Wayne County, it was a knockdown, drag-out battle for the title, and Red Creek ends up winning for the first time in their school history. And so I'm just wondering, if from your guys' perspective, is that step one? You want to – for personal pride, you want to be league champs? Would it bother you if you came in second this year?
It would bother me for sure, because we've been saying since we were little this is our year, and I think that every night we just need to prove that we're a good team, you know, and you know just prove ourselves. We don't want to lose the league. No.
Yeah, we don't want to lose any league games. That's my goal. I think that there's some really good teams in our league, but I think if we play well, then I think we could win every game. That's the goal.
Yeah, sure. Tough one coming up Wednesday against East Rochester on December 23rd, also undefeated, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. You know, and looking at your team, your top five is pretty solid. It's almost tough to tell one guy from another out there sometimes, which is a good thing. Dustin Reed did well off the bench. I think Steve Geffert comes off the bench as well, but not very deep. And in Thursday and Lions, Garrett got in early foul trouble, and you could see how that changed things a little bit, and the Lions was able to dig into that lead. Also, you're the tallest kid on the team, Garrett. I mean, Jake manned the center last year. He's gone, so maybe a little bit undersized. If you're looking for weaknesses for this team, lack of depth and a little bit undersized. Although, as a whole, I don't think you're undersized. Tyler, what are you, 6'2", 6'3"?
Yep.
And is there... Are you aware of anything you're doing to try to compensate for that? Anything different for those perceived weaknesses of this team?
I think our big men, yeah, we're a little smaller. Like Elijah's like 6'2". I'm about 6'3". But if they have a big guy that's bigger than us, Tyler, Luke, they're 6'2 guards.
Like, yeah.
There's not many people that are 6'2 in guards in Wayne County. And even Connor at 5'10". He's pretty big and he's fast, so he can get by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think... If our height down low, if there is that a weakness, yeah, but our guards is a strength, our guard
you're
height.
Taller than most of the other guards, right? So it kind of counteracts that.
Yeah, this year we've just been talking about playing disciplined defense because we know that we, you know, can't reach, can't go for the stupid blocks, swinging, and we got to stay out of foul trouble. So just play disciplined defense, help defense, and stay out of foul trouble.
Sure. How about playing for your dad? What's that like? I mean,
it's about to come. Like when I was younger, I'm like, I'm gonna play for my dad. It's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's there's not a lot of time off. Like you get home and you can
still keep practicing and talking about strategy.
Like yesterday, we were watching college basketball games. You got to rewind it about five times to see how that guy showed that he set that screen.
So, Coach, it's got to be like a dream come true, though, to coach your own son at a varsity level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a great time doing it. My older boy played for me also.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. My older son did the same thing. When we watched games on TV, I'd be rewinding them, and he would complain about it also. You know, Garrett, he said it yesterday. He's... All right, Dad, let's go. Let's put this back to live, you know. Let's go, you know.
Well, Verk and I coach our girls' 10-year-old daughter's basketball team, too, and we're rewinding things, too. I'm still with them. I don't know if they're ready for that yet. And also soccer, watching the U.S. women play. It's fun. So it is awesome. But to do it at the varsity level is really cool.
You know, Garrett could always complain to the athletic director as well.
His mom's AD. So.
Fire the coach.
Has that discussion ever been had at home with the athletic director?
No. She'd want to sometimes.
One of the biggest rivalries for Northrow is Wilkin. I don't think a lot of people realize this that aren't from those communities, but it's Northrow's Wolcott Red Creek is kind of a special rivalry. We talk about Lions, Clyde a lot, and then you got Newark and Pelmax, a pretty good rivalry, and Minders Waterloo is putting kind of one sided, but good crosstown rivalry there. Tell me a little bit about it. As someone I've never been to a Northrow's Red Creek game, we're going to come and do the game in January. What is the atmosphere like for one of those games, and what does it mean to you, the players?
It's intense. Last year we had a home game, and I think that was the biggest crowd we've ever had at home. You know, a lot of people take a lot of pride in who wins that game because, mm-hmm. like I said, bragging rights close at home. School pride. You want to, have those bragging rights. So it's intense. There's always a lot of fans there, it's special atmosphere for the players, too, so it's a lot of fun.
Is it all sports like that?
Yeah.
Soccer's got to be a really big one, right?
For sure, soccer. Yeah. So whoever wins in soccer, you want to make that. If you lose in soccer, you got to make that up for basketball.
For basketball. Yeah. So how did you guys do in soccer this year over there? You guys aren't on the soccer team, but you Red Creek got you twice, huh?
Yeah, they were very, very good, their soccer team.
For sure.
They were like 19-1, and they lost in the finals.
So. And I'll just chirp in, too. When I first started coaching at North Rose Wolcott, I had one guy come up to me and say, I don't care how many games you win, you just need to win two at least. You know, so, and that was Red Creek. So, yeah, that's a it's a big deal.
And especially, you know, as of late with both you guys being, you know, especially last year, both teams were really good. So I'm sure that, you know, brought that rivalry up to another level. And, you know, they got a nice little team this year as well. So I'm sure, you know, those games will be well attended. But, yeah, it's a rivalry. You don't really, you know, being from over here, you don't really think of it too much. But it'll be fun to watch that game on Finger Lakes One.
Yeah, and they lost Jake Sloab and Griffin Klein, but they got Griffin's younger brother Nick back and Willie Meyer back. Do you guys, being so close, play with these guys or see these guys around town?
I know Connor said every once in a while we have a, like, we hang out on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, Willie Meyer comes over.
He comes over for the sleepover?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, no kidding.
He's cool. I like Willie. He's nice.
Yeah.
But he's the rival.
Yeah, when
so,
you get on the court, he's
not like him too much.
Yeah.
We always mess with him. We always tell him. Yeah,
he made a half-court shot last week.
Yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll look forward to that game. And then now speaking of some of the teams you play, I'd like to hear who the best players that you've, in your opinion, that you face, and not really just as a whole, but like Tyler, guys that you might be matched up with, or Garrett, guys you might be matched with, who are the mm-hmm. toughest matchups individually for you guys that off the top of your head in Wayne County this year?
Okay.
Well, so far, guys that I've guarded, Enrique Mossman from Gananda, he's a good player. And,
he's been scoring
30
points a game.
Yeah, he's actually my AAU teammate, so we're familiar with each other, and he's improved a lot since the last season, so that was a tough matchup for me, and he's been playing well. And then Nick Klein was a tough matchup too. I guarded him when we played Red Creek at Red Creek, and he's just very almost sneaky, I would say. You know, he's very smooth with the ball, and you know, makes plays when you're kind of a little bit more relaxed on defense. So
yeah, I was impressed with him. I saw him against Lions, and you know, he keeps, he's another kid who, you know, does a great job of keeping his head. Really doesn't let much affect him. You know, he can go off the dribble. He can do, you know, I thought he got a ton better from last year, and does a lot of nice things.
Yeah.
And he seemed to be a guy. We had him on the post-game show when they beat Clyde last year. It was Jake Sloab and Nick Klein, and who was a sophomore at the time. And Nick kept talking about how he just tries to do what he sees Jake doing, which is getting there to school early every day and getting shots up and you know, working hard. And it was nice to see, because honestly, we thought, well, once Jake Sloab's gone, you're not going to have to even pay attention to Red Creek anymore. But when you have a player like Jake and you have some success, it starts. That's how you kind of build your program up. And it was nice to see Red Creek still very competitive this year. So how about you, Garrett, as far as players that you come up against, some of the bigger guys?
If Amel from Lions, if he makes shots, he's 6'7". He's a big kid. It's hard to stop him.
There's nobody like that in Wayne County, 6'7", like that.
Willie Meyer,
Willie, 6'6"-ish.
Yeah, he's a good athlete, very good athlete. Like, you can see him in warm-ups. He's dunking with ease, not hard for him.
Right.
And he's a very good soccer player, too. Yeah. He's
Player of
the Year in the league.
Oh, really? What positions he at?
He put him anywhere. He'll stop the other kid.
Really? He just seems big. He might be a good goalie.
He, as a attacker, I think.
Huh.
He's fast. He's big. You can't stop him. The kid's really, really good.
Great athlete.
Well, good thing you don't got to play him in soccer anymore. So.
So, Garrett, you're a senior. What are your plans for next year?
I am probably going to go to SUNY Delhi for professional golf management and business.
Oh, nice. Absolutely. Yeah, great golfer, play at Sodus Bay Heights. We'll try to get him down at Seneca Falls like I did with Josh Desane last year. And I played some golf with Ben Deming last year, too. So it's nice to get some of these guys that we cover all winter long out in the course in the summer. And Try to take some of their money.
Now, Tyler, you'll be back next year for your senior year, and all your, what is there, six guys on this roster are seniors. They're all going to be gone.
Six, yeah.
What is the, you know, what's the team going to be like next year? Because, you know, your senior year, that's your big, you know, that's your big year. And are the JV kids coming up going to fill out that roster? You guys still going to be competitive?
Yeah, I think we'll still be competitive. There's a couple players that will, you know, fill in the large gap that's going to be left from this year. And we got potential for sure. I'm definitely, you know, still real focused into this year and looking forward into sure. this year. And I'll worry more about that, you know, in the middle of March when this yeah. season is over. So,
yeah. All right. Well, hey, we're going to get to all the action across all three Wayne Finger Lakes leagues before we give our Players of the Week and the updated Girls Super 6 and FO1 Sports Power Rankings. The Upstate Hoops Podcast and all our coverage of Wayne Finger Lakes High School basketball is brought to you thanks to the support of Generations Bank, with locations in Auburn, Farmington, Geneva, Phelps, Seneca Falls, Union Springs, and Waterloo. Check out their mobile banking app and visit them online at mygenbank.com. And by FLCC, thinking about life after high school, get your degree at Finger Lakes Community College. And by Dr. Rod Littlejohn, delivering over 30 years of smiles with style. So, might as well start out in Wayne County. Big Thursday night this week. North throws Woolkit, survives the Atwood, leaves with a 3-point victory over Lions, 62-59. Tyler Norris had 21, Luke Gerstner had 14, Connor Pendleton had 14 for Lions, Jordan Amell had 20, his second game of the week with over 20 points, Nick Kehoe had 11. And, man, it's just heartbreaking sometimes, Virk, to see Lions lose all these close games. They're 1-6, all six losses by a combined 23 points. I mean, and it just shows the difference, and we saw it against North Rose Woolkit. At the end of the game, they didn't know what to do, where last year it was a given. Damon Hunter got the ball, and he just did what he did, and they would win the close games, especially in the postseason run. So, you know, what's your take on Lions?
I
say that they can win sectionals, and a lot of people have been telling me I'm crazy, but I can see the potential there. They just need to learn how to win at the end of the game.
Yeah, you know, I saw them early on. I wasn't able to watch North Rose Woolcott game yet. You know, and obviously that's a stepping stone for them. You know, I think North Rose is one of the, if not the best, one of the better teams that we cover. And, you know, Lions made it competitive with them and, you know, really gave them a great game. Obviously, getting some scoring from Amell helps. You know, he's kind of been missing in action there early on. But, you know, if he's going to give them 15 to 20 points, you know, Lions, you know, 6-7, your class, you know, C2. You got some nice pieces there. Obviously, Coach Young's had to, you know, the losses from last year. And then, you know, he's missing a couple players he thought he was going to have this year. So they're still adjusting. But, you know, they're going to get better as the season goes on. And, you know, I think Thursday night was a good step for them, you know, giving these guys a good game.
And then at the same time, on Thursday night, just down the road, you had Clyde Savannah taking on East Rochester. Clyde comes out with a 69-64 win there to remain undefeated. So we got two undefeated teams in Wayne County now. Chevis Gaines had 18, Keith Butler 17, another great game. And for Clyde, it was Trey Canale with 17, Jared Faniel with 16. And so, yeah, it was a big Thursday night, both teams in action and close games at the top of the Wayne County League. Big game for Clyde if they wanted to still contend for the league title. It looks, you know, like they're going to be third, fourth place maybe, depending on how this second go-around goes. Real quick, some other games last week. East Rochester put up 100 on Marion, 100-38. I'm not too impressed with that number necessarily against Marion. Keith Butler had 22. North Rose beat Williamson 72-32, and Tyler had 19 in that one. Garrett had 16 points, 10 rebounds. Luke Gerstner, 11 points, 5 assists. And then the big rivalry game, Clyde Savannah at Lions, never disappoints. Lions had a 15-point lead, couldn't close. And Clyde comes out with a 5-point win. Jared Faniel had 17 in that one. Derek Chance and Drew Carnevale had 14.
And I'll, as I mentioned before, Mel had 22 in that one. Justice Smith had 16. Sotus beats Red Creek by 2. I believe it was overtime. Andrew Hines made a game-winning field goal at the buzzer. Maybe it was regulation. And then Sotus beat Marion 73-20. Guys, talk about going into the Atwood. You guys brought a ton of fans to that game, and it was just a pretty intense atmosphere, especially when it got in the fourth and Lions started hitting a few three-pointers and the place started shaking. You know, what do you do to keep your composure in that type of atmosphere in a close game?
I just think our experience helps in that situation because we've been in a lot of close games before, and Coach Hoyt said at halftime that, you know, if it goes that way, then we just need to stay steady and keep our heads and just keep playing hard. So, you know, that reminder helped out a lot. And, you know, when they were coming back, we were all looking at each other like, we're fine. We've been in this position before, and we know we can close this one out. So
you were particularly impressive late. I mean, you actually almost single-handedly, I would say, you know, secured that win with 6 straight field goal points from the field in the fourth quarter. And again, like I say, that's what I think that Lions lacks. The close game late, you're having trouble getting shots in your offense, so the ball goes to Tyler, and, you know, he makes a couple of tough shots. One was a runner, one was a pull-up. Not going to talk about the free throws.
Yeah.
Because you didn't make too many of those late.
No, but those are, you know, that's, you know, my only, you know, one of my concerns with you guys was that you're going to roll for the league and not necessarily be challenged, you know, but those games, in the, you know, obviously you get the win, probably a little bit tighter, you know, the way it went than Coach Hoyt probably wanted, but, you know, you come away with the win, obviously that's the main goal, but, you know, situations like that, you know, losing a lead, going down in the fourth quarter and, you know, rallying the troops and, you know, coming back to get that win, you know, in the long run, because, you know, come sectional time, obviously you're going to be in some hairy situations like that. And, you know, I think that's a good team builder. And, you know, obviously it was a little surprising. I thought they would have handled them a little bit easier than that. But, you know, Lions and Lions is always going to be a tough game. And, you know, like I said, you guys showed great poise and were able to win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's pull up the Wayne County standings right now. And here we go. We've got essentially a two-way tie for first. East Rochester is a game up because they're 6-0 in the league. North Rose is 5-0. Clyde 3-2. Sotus, a little bit of a surprise at 3-2. Red Creek, Gananda, and Williamson with 2 wins each. And then you got poor Lions at 1-5 after a lot of tough losses.
You're really feeling bad for Lions, aren't you?
I am, because I can see, you know, one reason I feel bad is that they lost, you know, they just lost a lot of guys. A couple kids that were expected to be key contributors aren't able to play. Darren Carswell, a kid who was a sophomore on last year's Glens Falls team, transfers to Mid Lakes. And so the guys that are left, you know, you kind of pull for him. And I personally think that Zach does a great job, and I think that they're better than most people are thinking. I just think a lot of people wrote them off because of all those losses, but I think they'll get better as the year goes on. But as far as, you know, the Wayne County standings go here, big game coming up on Wednesday, East Rochester at North Rose. You get to play them twice. Obviously, the winner of this game controls their own destiny as far as the league standings go. Also on Tuesday, you got Lions at Gananda. And on Wednesday, Red Creek at Marion and Sotus at Clyde, and in a pretty big game there in the second tier. So what do you guys know about ER and how much you're looking forward to that game?
Well, we know that ER plays a lot of guys. They have a, I think Coach was saying, like a 10 to 15 guy rotation, and they're going to play quick and just try to speed us up. So we got to control the tempo and just play our game and keep steady and keep the turnovers down. They're not a very big team, so, you know, if we take care of the basketball like we're supposed to, hopefully we can get it inside to Garrett over here so mm-hmm. he can just do what he does and do work. So they're definitely going to try to make it a chaotic game and try to get us, you know, doing things that we shouldn't be doing, you know.
Right.
And they're going to try to turn the ball over and run on us. So we just got to, you know, stay composed and take care of the basketball, I think, is the biggest thing about Wednesday, is we just got to keep the turnovers down.
And I haven't seen East ER in person since last year's sectional final.
They're a dangerous team. You know, they beat Minders last year in sectionals, a 17-3 Minders team. Beat them in the semis, and, you know, they went on to lose in the finals, obviously. But, you know, I know Coach White, I'm sure they're quick, right, up front?
Yes, the Butler kid is very quick. The Michaels kid can shoot the ball. He's a very good player. I mean, they have some good players. And, you know, I was thinking earlier when you were talking about us blowing through the league. I don't see that. Clyde's.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
Clyde's
no doubt.
There, and I tell you what, you don't want to sleep on Sotis.
Yeah.
Sotis is – people don't know too much about Sotis, but this is their junior class. This is the year that they've been waiting for this year and next. And Sotis is going to be a very tough team. They have some good parts. So.
Well, that's good to hear. We have Sotis at Waterloo on January 2nd. We're doing that game, so that'll be good to hear. And Sotis has been a little bit surprising because we didn't expect it. We didn't really know this junior class coming up.
Well, and actually the first part of the year, I think they had a couple of kids hurt. So they lost some games that they might not have otherwise. So.
All right. Well, hey, let's kick it over now to the West as we're moving right along here. In the West this week, the big story was that Naples lost because they hadn't lost in 27 regular season games. So they've been 27-1 over the last 2 years. The one loss coming to RCMCS in the sectional semifinals in Bloomfield last year, ending their season at 19-1. 22-game win streak in the Finger Lakes West. And it wasn't Dundee that beat them. It wasn't even Bloomfield or Marcus Whitman. It was Red Jacket. And they beat him pretty good, 62-49 for Naples. Andrew Fleischman had 22 for Red Jacket. Dan Brown had 20. Sean Sheets had 14. And that was the one for me, Virk, that was like when that score came in, it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, a little surprising, obviously. But, you know, we kind of knew Naples, obviously, was down this year from where they were last year. Got off to a great start. And, you know, in that league, you know, there's some pretty decent teams. And, you know, I didn't think they were going to go undefeated necessarily, and, you know, they still got Dundee coming up as well. So, you know, you just move on from there. The streak's over, and that might relieve some pressure for them, and, you know, they can start a new streak now.
Yeah, and speaking of Dundee, well, first of all, Naples did bounce back, beating Honeyoy 55-48. Zach Dormer had 18. Cole Loomis had 16 points and 7 rebounds for Honeyoy in that one. But Dundee has been looking impressive under Les Miller. 7-0 now, I believe I got them at. We'll pull up those standings in a second. But this week they beat Romulus 77-43. They beat HAC 66-50. And then they played Virtus yesterday, which I had to do some searching. That's a charter school in Rochester on Lyle Ave, 66-44. So 3 wins for Dundee. Bobby Strait had 26 points in the first game against Romulus, 22 against HAC, 14 against Virtus. Jordan Conyers had 17 yesterday against Virtus as well, and so Dundee's rolling right along. And then Bloomfield got a big win over Marcus Whitman, and they also handled South Seneca last week. The Whitman win, a big one for Bloomfield. The West is pretty balanced. The top half is pretty balanced. Bloomfield 62-46 over Marcus Whitman. Jack Ferguson had 16. Dalton Phillips had 15.7 rebounds. Hayden Ward had 14 points, 10 rebounds in that one. Big man Brad Stone had 20 for Whitman. And then they come back, beat South Seneca 52-37. Hayden Ward had 17 points and 10 rebounds in that one. And so let me get these Finger Lakes West standings up so we could take a look. And there you got Dundee. 6-0, or actually, no, 7-0. This doesn't include yesterday's a win. Dundee was the only team in action yesterday in all the Wayne Finger Lakes. Naples Bloomfield tied for second. Red Jacket, after that big win's now in the mix. And, you know, Marcus Whitman, a little bit surprised at 3-3. We thought they might be a little bit better, but they got a long season left to turn it around. Honeyoy resurgent after an off couple of seasons the past 2 years. So, really, when I look at the West, you know, from Whitman and Honeyoy down, I still think, you know, all those teams – you know, still in contention for the league, which is a little different. The West has been a two-team league the past couple of years, so it's exciting to see such parity, and it's the same thing that's going on in the Finger Lakes East, and we talk about it a little bit, Virk. If it's that there's not many great teams, there's a lot of really good teams, but not many great teams this year, and so really everything's up for grabs in not only the West but the East. So, and some couple big games coming up this week. The biggest being Dundee at Naples on Tuesday night. And then you have Bloomfield at Red Jacket also on Tuesday. And HAC taking on Whitman. And then South Seneca at Romulus. We talk about rivalry games. Those two teams are at the bottom of the standings. But that's always a bloodbath.
Yeah, you know, and they're especially, you know, they combined a few years ago, and then they've been separated here for a couple of years. But yeah, that's always a big rivalry.
So let's kick it over now to the East, because boy, I've been looking forward to talk about this, because it was about as crazy a week in the Finger Lakes East as you can have. You had, I'll run right through the results first. On Tuesday, Minders faced Mid Lakes. And Pelmac faced Newark. So in our power rankings, four of the top five teams right there on Tuesday night in the Finger Lakes East. And Minders ends up beating Mid Lakes 53-45. They were down after the first quarter. They missed a few free throws late to maybe make it a little closer than that score indicates. For Minders, Brett Anderson had 11. Ben Cafola had 10. For Mid Lakes, sophomore point guard Bryce Burry had 14. Trevor Milliman had 13. And then in a game that we did on Finger Lakes 1, it was Newark beating Pelmac at home 56-52, despite 21 points from Damian Wright, 20 in the second half, and he's been coming off a little illness and a little injury that held him back early in the year and kind of broke out in the second half of that game in Newark. Hunter Vandeveld, 17 big points, and for Newark, I'll tell you, Jose Santel was incredible that game, 16.6 rebounds. Just very smooth, under control, great ball handler, can get to the rim, can finish, great in transition, and I really credit that Newark pulling out that win to Santel. And then, of course, big man Taylor Clements, who didn't start the game, didn't come in until second quarter, as I guess it was a motivational tool that Coach have really used to get the big man going. But huge win for Newark. Nice win for Minders. And that set up the action on Friday night, where Minders faced Pelmac, number 1 and 2 in the power rankings, and Pelmac coming off that loss to Newark. They get the win at home, 62-54 over Minders. Holden Knorr, 22 points. He got hot late to pull away. Brandon Hawkins, 15.6 rebounds. Damian Wright, 10 assists in that game for Minders. Jake Mean, 22 points. Jake Jones, 10 points. And then Mid Lakes trying to bounce back, faces a winless Geneva team, and Geneva just finally put it together. 84-63, the Panthers win. 20 points from Noah Barber, 17 points from Tyler Tyson, 12 points for Pleeku Irvin, and then for Mid Lakes, Kenny DeVay had 14, and Burry and Justin Hoover had 13 apiece. And then Newark faces Waterloo, also on Friday night, gets a 62-46 win. 4 3-pointers for Brian Sharp, finished with 20. Big Ben Deming, 17 points, 8 rebounds. Dikembe Ayers, 17 points. And so, Virk, I mean, this was the crazy thing, is that all these teams in the East held serve at home. So now what do we do? How are we going to figure out the old power rankings this week now when everybody just beat everybody?
Yeah, and, you know, we've kind of talked about that, you know, I think the team that wins the East will probably have 2 or 3 losses. You know, Minders losing out at Pelmac. You know, Pelmac's a good team, and at home, you know, Minders was right in that game right up to the end, and you know, Pelmac pulled out the win. You know, Minders able to beat Newark at home, and then Newark beats Pelmac, obviously, in Newark. You know, protect your home court, and that's going to be key, I think, in the East, is getting the big wins at home, which all three of them did.
And also, we were looking last week, it Wayne was a little better than we might thought they were going to be, and Penyan, after a good start, had dropped a little bit. Well, Penyan's coming back strong. This past week, they beat Wayne 57-49. Desmond Batten with 22 points, Dylan Stape with 10. And then and Wayne beat Geneva also this week 66-56, behind 20 points from Billy Thompson, including 9 of 9 from the free throw line. So let's take a look and see how things are looking now in the East as we head into Christmas. And look at this. You got three teams tied for first at 3-1, and then you got three more teams just one game back. And it's a free-for-all in the East. It's exciting.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously Midlakes, you know, came in the week 2-0, and they had two losses, so they kind of dropped down a notch. But, you know, I look for those top three teams to battle it out all year long.
And we're going to talk about this at our power rankings, because this is a problem when we do these power rankings, is you have different leagues, different teams not always playing each other. So we got all these 3-1 teams in the East. We got two undefeated teams in Wayne County and an undefeated Dundee team in the West. You know, how do you put them together? Traditionally, we've always gone under the impression that the Finger Lakes East is the strongest league. Last year, I think you could have made an argument, though, that Wayne County was the strongest league, and it was really played out in sectional time when Wayne County sent three teams to the Blue Cross Arena. I think it was three. It was North Rose Wolcott, ER made it there.
Lions.
And Lions, yeah. And then Lions goes all the way to Glens Falls. Finger Lakes East, zero teams. Some of the teams in the East are in a higher classification, but for the most part, that's the debate that we have on our FL1 sports team when we do these power rankings and everybody puts their votes in. So what do you think this year, Virk? Is the top teams in the East better than the top teams in Wayne County? Let me remind you that these guys are sitting right over here.
I know, it's a lot of pressure. You know, it's the East generally typically has bigger schools, for one thing. You know, a Geneva, you know, Newark, Palmac, they're just bigger schools.
Wayne.
Wayne. So, you know, the level play is usually a little bit higher. But, you know, I'd throw North Rose right in with any of those guys this year. And, well, you know, we'll see. As a, you know, last year I thought it was a big show to Wayne County when ER was able to beat Miners in sectionals. You know, a Miners team that easily finished in second place in the East. And, you know, I think ER was, you know, third or fourth in Wayne County last year. Or, yeah, fourth or fifth. And, you know, they were able to beat them on a neutral court. So, you know, that's why it's just fun to talk about, really. And we'll never know who's better than who necessarily. But, it's fun to talk about, I guess.
Yeah, and we'll reveal those power rankings coming up shortly here. This week in Finger Lakes East action, Geneva's traveling to Penyan on Tuesday night. Newark at Midlakes, a really big game for both teams. But Midlakes, after losing two straight, really needs to right the ship. They're at home, so big one for Coach Zirkus and the Eagles. Waterloo's traveling to Palmac. Waterloo hasn't won a league game yet, but very talented team that at any moment, you know, could kind of pull it together and could beat a team like Palmac or really any team in the East. And then Wayne will visit Minders on Tuesday night too, which will be a nice test for the Blue Devils. Wayne, I guess, goes 10 deep, and I guess the second five's not much of a drop-off from the first five.
Yeah, I don't know much about them. I know that they're young. I think you guys know some of those guys, right? They got some good young players.
Yeah, we scrimmaged them, and they have, I think, two freshmen and two sophomores that play. So
that's, you know, that's a good place to start right there. And they are better than I thought they're going to be this year. Obviously, I didn't know that these kids were going to be so good.
So, players of the week, real quick, Virk, who you got for us this week?
I got Jordan Amell. For Lions, 22 points versus Clyde, 20 points versus North Rose Wolcott, and you know, really kind of sparked them after kind of having a disappointing start to his year.
Yeah,
he had a tough stretch there early, but bounced back, and hopefully he can continue that success.
And it's not often we give a player of the week to a guy that was on a team that lost two games, but this guy in particular, Amell, such a key cog for this Lions team, and he really had a great week. Was great against you guys. Really nice touch around the basket. steps out and hits a few threes, which, you know, I don't know how much they want him to do that, but one of them was a big one late. And so congratulations, Jordan, Player of the Week. Also, I'll give my Player of the Week. I'm going with Bobby Strait at Dundee, 26 points versus Romulus, 22 versus HAC, 14 versus Virtus, and 13 three-pointers in three games. And last week, we gave another Dundee kid the Player of the Week. It was Jordan Conyers. So back-to-back Dundee players.
They're showing favoritism towards Dundee.
Towards Coach Miller.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows that I think that you know, they're a good team when you got back-to-back two different guys being Player of the Week.
Sure.
So, you know, see if Dundee can stay undefeated in the West coming up this week. But now, Virk, let's kick it over to the girls for a second. And with the Super 6 rankings, it was Wayne beats Geneva. They were number one. They beat them by 19. And they play Minders in Ontario on Monday night. Huge game for the Minders Blue Devils. And the thing about Minders is we were high on them. Then we watched them lose pretty badly to Geneva. But since then, they come back and they beat all the other big three in the East. They beat Newark 41-37. They beat Midlake 62-39. They beat Pelmac 54-44. Now they got Wayne, probably the top dog. And so it's going to be real interesting to see how they do in that game. Midlakes then gets a big win over Geneva. We were kind of starting to write off Midlakes and Sydney Jones. Apparently Geneva had a couple starters out. But still a huge win for the Lady Screaming Eagles. And Gannett is still undefeated in Wayne County. They beat ER, Clyde, North Rose, Wolcott this week. They opened their season with a win against Midlakes. And then Romulus just keeps rolling. They got South Seneca on Monday at the Jack Guinan, which that's going to be a great game because, you know, South Seneca, we do top six for the girls. South Seneca would definitely be in the top 10. We'll see if they're in the top six going ahead here.
Yes, you know, South Seneca's only losses to Aquinas, and that was only by 10 points. They're a good team, and actually Minders plays them Wednesday, so that'll be an interesting matchup.
All right.
I think Minders will handle them, but it'll be a big, good test for Minders. And, you know, I think looking at the girls, I think it's Wayne, and then everybody else is a little bit below them at this point. You know, we'll see how it goes tomorrow night for Coach Anderson and the girls team. You know, hopefully they bring their A game. It's a Minders team that beat Aquinas. You know, they're talented when they shoot the ball well from the outside. I think they can compete with anybody. You know, obviously having Heidi Miller is a big bonus, inside outside player. She's off to a great start. So it'll be an interesting week for the girls as well.
Let's take a look at how the Super 6 shakes out this week. There you go, Wayne at number one. Geneva stays at two despite that loss to Midlakes. Minders at three. Gananda undefeated at four. Midlake slides in at five. There's some debate over South Seneca or Midlakes who should be in there. Romulus actually dropped a spot to six. And again, it's these interleague games. We're never going to see Romulus play Minders or our Midlakes. So
we'll see South Seneca Minders, so that should.
Yeah, that'll be a good. That will be a good indicator. So there you have it. Now let's move it ahead to the boys' side of things. And yeah, Burke, it's the. I don't think in the history of us doing these power rankings, there's ever been a week where there was more controversy within the FL1 sports team, and. I'm going to put them up here first, and let's just talk about it. I'll put them up here. There we go. We got Minders staying at one despite the loss. Pelmac staying at two despite losing to Newark. North Rose staying at three despite still being undefeated. Newark at four, as we mentioned. They beat Pelmac, lost to Minders. Dundee undefeated, slides way up to five. ER, I think, moved up from eight or nine to six this week. Midlakes, after two losses, drops from four to seven. Naples, after their one loss, drops from six to eight. Wayne holds steady at 9. I think they were 1-1. And Clyde also holds steady at 10. I think they were 10 last week, too. So the big thing is Minders, Pelmac, Newark all lose. North Rose, Wolcott wins. They're 3. I'm going to say it right now. My poll had North Rose, Wolcott 1.
Of course it did.
And I won't say what your poll was or what anybody else's poll was, but we really hashed it out over this. And I don't know. Coach, I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think about that? Do you think that this all really, like I said, means nothing? But do you guys think that you are as good as the teams in the East?
Oh, of course I feel we are, but, you know, I look at that the rankings and I just look at sectional points.
Right.
And that's what I really care about, and that's what we care about. And, you know, this rankings is great. It's great to talk about, and it's, you know, it's fun, and the kids love it.
Yeah.
But I just look at sectional points, and that's what we really...
I'm trying to do Coach Hoyt a favor and not let these guys get big heads, you know what I mean? You know, just give them something to work for,
I take care of that also.
So, yeah, and obviously, you know, you throw in the top four or five teams, and I haven't seen Paul Mac play. I haven't seen Newark play. So it's, you know, it's just looking, you know, it's just throwing it out there and you know, coming up with some numbers. But it's interesting. And, you know, you talk about sectionals, obviously. You guys right now are sitting at number one. So that's a good place to be with minors right behind you. So I'm sure you're keeping a nice close eye on that.
Well, for us, you know, where we're located in our class as far as just geographic. You don't want to be going to away games.
Sure.
I mean, you don't want to go to Wellsville. You know, you don't – I mean, our closest game would be Minders.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you would travel to Attica, you know, Wayland-Cohocton or someplace.
Sure.
I mean, you don't want to be in the middle of the pack and have to go to a road game.
And I'm sure you've been there before.
We've been there many a time.
And maybe this year, you know, these schools will be coming to North Rose and checking out your facilities.
The last few years we were able to do that. I think that makes a big difference. I mean,
sure.
You know, when you have to travel 2 hours on a school bus,
sure.
You know, it makes
Now Wellsville is sitting at three. What are they? Did they lose a lot from last year? Or?
They did lose a lot, but they just keep coming back with players.
Were they had the little
have
guard
Ebert.
Yeah,
Liam
he's
Ebert.
Tough.
He's probably one of the best point guards around.
I mean,
that kid, you can't press Wellsville.
Right.
That kid he's legit. He's very quick. He's can handle the ball, shoots. He sees the floor. He's a very, very good point guard.
And you know, and I was kind of looking at, you know, obviously I follow Minders closely, being a graduate and stuff like that. And, you know, I think, you know, getting that one seed is big this year. You know, you could avoid a Wellsville in that 2-3 game. You know, at first I was thinking maybe we're going to avoid RCMCS or somebody, you know, wherever they – who knows where they're going to fall. You know, I know you guys
– left and right.
I know you guys played them and handled them, but they're probably a dangerous team, I would think. You know, you never know. So, they're – you know, they could be a 9 seed this year, so you just – you know, you can never obviously plan for that. But
you've got Marcus Whitman, you know, that's scary. And
sure.
Attica, when we played Attica a couple years ago – in the sectionals, and they were very young. I think they're seniors, and I think they'll be a tough team too. So I think our B2 classification is very tough this year.
You know, it's funny, like I always talked about it, like, you know, so you get Minders up there this year for the first time in 3 or 4 years, you know what I mean, and they were B 4 or 5 years ago, and they actually won it in B2. But when I was a junior, like Livonia, I think it was the only time they were ever a C school in the history of the school, and they're loaded, and, you know, they beat us in the sectional finals and went on to the state finals. But, you know, if they happen to be B that year, I think it's Minders going to the state finals and not them. It just, you know, sometimes it's just funny how things fall, or especially now with these charter schools. You never know who you're going to run into, and, you know, it makes it it's interesting, and, you know, especially with the private schools. Like Minders lost to Bishop Kearney a couple years, you know, 6-7 years ago, 2 years in a row in sectionals, which – obviously, it's not very fair.
Well, for 4 years straight, when I first started coaching, we played Bishop Kearney in the first round.
Fun,
you know?
Yeah. And that's probably when Minders was playing them too. And we were good. You know, we had some good teams that probably deserved a shot for a sectional title, which, you know, we gave them a good game once, and then in the finals 1 year they just blew us out. But, you know, it's just funny how things shake out, and it could affect, you know, a team winning a sectional title.
Yeah, and it's a frustrating thing is for a lot of, you know, these kids, you get 1 or 2 years, your junior or senior year to make that run, and so you run up against a team like Kearney, who clearly is not a C team or even a B team, you know. But that's a debate for another day. We don't have enough time to talk about that. But it is exciting to see when we look at those power rankings, the potential of maybe North Rose playing Minders, because then we can decide it on the court. Right now it's just all, you know, coffee shop talk.
Sure. And, you know, that I would love to see that happen. You know, which probably means they both made it far in sectionals, because I think they're going to be, you know, top 2 or 3.
It would be either semi or finals.
Yeah, and you know, in throughout, you know, the B2 or B1 is a lot of figure lakes. These teams, you know, you got Newark, Mid Lakes, Waterloo,
Pelmac.
So, Penny. You know, they're going to see, you know, a lot of those teams are going to, Geneva's A, I think, this year.
A2
right?
Yeah, along with Wayne. Okay. And then C1, C2.
C1's loaded, you know, with a lot of Wayne County schools and Finger Lakes West schools, so.
Yeah, it's, you know, it'll be here before you know it. Christmas is already here, and it'll be 2016, and before you know it, we'll be looking at some sectional brackets, and that's always a lot of fun, but ton of basketball to be played between now and then. And just looking at the week ahead again real quick, on Tuesday, Dundee at Naples, Newark at Midlakes, Waterloo at Pelmac, and Wayne at Minders. And then Wednesday's the big one in Wayne County, undefeated East Rochester at undefeated North Rose Wolcott. So I don't know what my wife's going to think about 2 days before Christmas, me driving up to North Rose, but I'm going to feel it out. I wouldn't mind taking a drive up there and watching that one. So, Coach, thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it.
Good
Thank
luck
you.
The rest of the way. Thanks. Tyler, Garrett, real pleasure watching you guys play. It's Thank always you. Fun. You know, I just say keep doing what you're doing. Good things are probably going to happen for you. Either way, great group of kids to watch. And Tyler, I just want to say too, at the end of that Lions game, I run over and gonna grab Tyler for the post game interview because he had 20 something points or whatever it was, and 6 big points in the fourth quarter. And Tyler, you said, "Oh no, because you've done it before. You've been on there a couple times, as Garrett has," and said, yep. "Pick another one of my guys." And I don't think there's many kids, you know, around the leagues that would have been that conscientious of maybe. Their teammates. So that was something that was pretty impressive, Tyler, deferring to. And then we had Connor on, and he did a great job.
For sure, yeah.
But he did mention that Saturday nights they have sleepovers, and I busted him a little bit. I'm like, oh, it's a Cougar pajama party. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys are catching any flack in the halls for that one.
They wish they could come.
Yeah. That's right.
We're just jealous.
So, yeah, congratulations the rest of the way. Thanks a lot for coming in, and look forward to seeing you guys back on the court on Wednesday night. So thanks for joining us for another edition of the Upstate Hoops podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube's, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. We'll be back here next Sunday. Check out the front page of FingerLakes1.com for our live webcast start time. Might have Dan Harris and some Pelmac Red Raiders in next week or something I'm working on there. So that'll be fun. Again, check the front page of Finger Lakes 1 for the start time. And until then, for Coach Brian Hoyt, Garrett Hoyt, Tyler Norris, and Matt Verkey, I'm Jim Sinacropi. Have a great Christmas.